ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. Welcome to today's morning Bhagavatam class. We are continuing our discussion of fourth canto, chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, continuing with text number 23. Tvad bhātari uttame nashte mrigayayam tu tanmanaha anveshanti vanam mata ದಾವಾಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಾ ಪ್ರವೇಕ್ಷ್ಯತಿ ತ್ವದ್ಭ್ರಾತೃಯುತ್ತಮೇನಷ್ಟೇ ತದ್ಭ್ರಾತೃಯುತ್ತಮೇನ ಮೃಗಯಾಯಾಂ ತು ತನ್ಮನಃ ತು ತನ್ಮನಾಃ ಅನ್ವೇಷಂತಿ ವನಂ ಮಾತಾ ದಾವಾಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಾ ಪ್ರವೇಕ್ಷ್ಯತಿ ತ್ವದ್ಭ್ರಾತೃಯುತ್ತಮೇನಷ್ಟೇ ಮೃಗಯಾಯಾಂ ತು ತನ್ಮನಃ ಅನ್ವೇಷಂತಿ ವನಂ ಮಾತಾ ದಾವಾಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಾ ಪ್ರವೇಕ್ಷ್ಯತಿ. ತದ್ಭ್ರಾತೃಯುತ್ತಮೇನಷ್ಟೇ ಮೃಗಯಾಯಾಂ ತು ತನ್ಮನಃ ಅನ್ವೇಷಂತಿ ವನಂ ಮಾತಾ ದಾವಾಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಾ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯತಿ. ತದ್ಭ್ರಾತೃಯುತ್ತಮೇನಷ್ಟೇ ಮೃಗಯಾಂ ತು ತನ್ಮನಃ ಅನ್ವೇಷಂತಿ ವನಂ ಮಾತಾ ದಾವಾಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಾ ಪ್ರವೇಕ್ಷ್ಯತಿ. ತ್ವದ್ಭ್ರಾತೃಯುತ್ತಮೇನಷ್ಟೇ ಮೃಗಯಾಂ ತು ತನ್ಮನಃ ಅನ್ವೇಷಂತಿ ವನಂ ಮಾತಾ ದಾವಾಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಾ ಪ್ರವೇಕ್ಷ್ಯತಿ. ಮಾತಾಜಿ ತದ್ಭ್ರಾತೃಯುತ್ತಮೇನಷ್ಟೇ ಮೃಗಯಾಯಾಂ ತು ತನ್ಮನಃ ಅನ್ವೇಷಂತಿ ವನಂ ಮಾತಾ ದಾವಾಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಾ ಪ್ರವಿಕ್ಷತಿ. ತ್ವದ್ಭ್ರಾತೃಯುತ್ತಮೇನಷ್ಟೇ ಮೃಗಯಾಯಾಂ ತು ತನ್ಮನಃ ಉಪನೇಷಂತಿ ವನಂ ಮಾತಾ ದಾವಾಗ್ನಿಂ ಸಾ ಪ್ರವಿಕ್ಷತಿ. ವಟ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ತ್ವತ್ ಯುವರ್ ಭ್ರಾತ್ರಿ ಬ್ರದರ್ ಉತ್ತಮೇ ಉತ್ತಮ ನಷ್ಟೇ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಕಿಲ್ಡ್ ಮೃಗಯಾಯಾಮ್ ಇನ್ ಹಂಟಿಂಗ್ ತು ದೆನ್ ತತ್ಮನಃ being too afflicted, anveshanti, while searching out, vanam, in the forest, mata, the mother, davagnim, in the forest fire, sa, she, pravekshanti, will enter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Lord continued, sometime in the future your brother Uttama will go hunting in the forest. And while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother Suruchi, being maddened upon the death of her son, will go in search of him in the forest. But she will be devoured by a forest fire. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj came to the forest to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a revenging spirit against his stepmother. His stepmother had insulted Dhruva, who was not an ordinary person, but a great Vaishnav. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav is the greatest offense in this world. Because of having insulted Dhruva Maharaj, Suruchi would become mad upon the death of her son and would enter a forest fire, and thus her life would be ended. This was specifically mentioned by the Lord to Dhruva because he was determined for revenge against her. From this, we should take the lesson that we should never try to insult a Vaishnava. Not only should we not insult a Vaishnava, but we should not insult anyone unnecessarily. When Suruchi insulted Dhruva Maharaj, he was just a child. She of course did not know that Dhruva was a great recognized Vaishnava, and so her offense was committed unknowingly. When one serves a Vaishnava unknowingly, one still gets the good result. And if one unknowingly insults a Vaishnava, one suffers the bad result. A Vaishnava is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pleasing him or displeasing him directly affects the pleasure and displeasure of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his 8 stanzas of prayers to spiritual master, has sung, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha. By pleasing the spiritual master, who is a pure Vaishnava, one pleases the personality of Godhead. But if one displeases the spiritual master, one does not know where he is going. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarur Vescha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. जय श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन भेरी भगवान की जय श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की जय हरे कृष्णा. सो वी आर एट अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग एंड अ वेरी बिविल्डरिंग वर्स बिकॉज दिस एंटायर पास टाइम इन द एंटायर पास टाइम दिस इज द वर्स विच विल कन्फ्यूज मेनी रीडर्स ऑफ द भागवतम. Right? I mean, the entire storyline so far is pretty understandable. Dhruva Maharaj, determination, you know, his perfection by worshipping this, the Lord, following the instruction of spiritual master. He attained perfection. Now the Lord is blessing him. Right? But this verse is going to confuse the audience thoroughly. Because in this verse, Lord is saying that sometimes in the future, your brother will go for hunting in the forest and he'll be killed. And your stepmother, looking for her son, will also get trapped in a forest fire and she'll also be killed. Why? Because they insulted you. And Prabhupada in the Purport, he also began by saying that actually what was the intention with which Dhruva Maharaj started his whole tapasya? Wanting revenge. Right? So, though it is not explicitly mentioned what vindictive mentality Dhruva Maharaj had in his heart, the only thing mentioned is, one, towards his father, what is the feeling that he had? He wanted a kingdom greater than his great-great-great-great-grandfather. Right? So, that is the part which is explicitly mentioned. But in this verse, we can see, why is Krishna sanctioning this desire? Why is Krishna saying this? Because ultimately Krishna is going to sanction a devotee's desire. So somewhere deep within Dhruva Maharaj's heart, he had some feelings of revenge. And that is what has manifested in the law. And that's what Prabhupada is also mentioning here. That Dhruva Maharaj came to the forest in search of Supreme Personality of Godhead with a revenging spirit against his stepmother. Right? Now we are going to park this thought. We are going to come back to this at the end of this class. Right? Just wanted to bring it to your attention. Right in the first line, Prabhupada is saying this. But we are going to see something else before we come to that point. What was Dhruva Maharaj's spiritual acumen at the time when this insult was taken place, right? When his stepmother insulted him, he was just any other boy, any random person in this universe, right? But however, Prabhupada here is pointing out that even though he was a child, the fact that in future is going to become a great devotee meant that she is getting the reactions for, you know, it's like a future offense, right? So this is how dangerous offenses can be, right? So the idea of, we repeatedly, this point is hammered in our lectures and in our spiritual narratives, the significance, the dangers of Vaishnaparad, right? So today we're going to touch upon this theme about how important is Vaishnaparad, how dangerous is Vaishnaparad, and more specifically we are going to talk about how what causes Vaishnaparad, and more importantly, is there some way out of this Vaishnaparad, right? So the significance of Vaishnaparad we already know. We don't have to emphasize further. We ourselves have got ourselves burnt many times. So this is knowledge by experience is what we have when it comes to Vaishnaparad. Right? So Shri Jiva Goswami, in the Bhakti Sandarbha, he quotes this verse from the Skanda Purana, which talks about the Vaishnaparad. He says, Nindam kurvanti ye mudha Vaishnavanam mahamanam. Right, these mudhas, they commit Vaishnava nindam, they insult. How? And what happens? Patanti pitribhi sardham maharauravam samjate. They go to Maharaurava planet. That's like one of the most intense of the hellish planets, level extreme. Right? What do they do? Hanti, Nindanti, Vaidveshti, Vaishnavan, Na Abhinandanti, Krudhanti Yati No Harsham, Darshane Patanti Sat. So what does Patan mean? What does Vaishnaparad mean? Right? Hanti, to kill a Vaishnav. Nindanti, to blaspheme a Vaishnav. Dveshti, being envious of a Vaishnav. Na Abhinandanti, to not glorify a Vaishnav. Then, Krodhanti, to exhibit your anger towards a Vaishnav. That is also offense. And this is like the most bewildering one. Na Harsham Darshane. If you look at a Vaishnav and if you are not happy when you are looking at him, that is also offense. Can you imagine? Lord has not left anything. Right? It's like literally walking on a razor's edge here. Right? So this is this is all that comes under the Vaishnav aparad. Now, let's see, why are we offensive? Why are we, not just towards devotees, but in general, what are the causes of this kind of offensive mentality, critical mentality, right? So we're going to talk about three progressive reasons for why one commits Vaishnava Aparad. The first reason is when our ignorance is exposed. When we do not know how glorious are Vaishnavas, how important are Vaishnavas, how Lord takes Vaishnavas so seriously. If you do not know, if you don't understand, this is what happened with, for example, Uttama, right? Uttama, he didn't know the importance of respecting his elder brother, right? So though Bhagavatam does not directly mention any incident where Uttama directly offended Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva is 5 and Uttama is his younger brother, so he should less than 5. What will a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old commit offense, right? But then, you know, the fact that he also got punished means somewhere deep down in his heart, he exhibited some level of offensive mentality, right? So, of course, it is purely out of ignorance. Many times this doesn't happen with us, but outsiders, the demoniac people, the atheists, right? They are constantly hurling offenses, hurling abuses towards devotees, right? They are not pleased upon looking at a Vaishnava. So this is the kind of offense which is born out of ignorance. So when your ignorance is exposed, right, sometimes even though we know how important Vaishnavas are, somehow our mind gets bewildered and we also act like those ignorant people, right? So when this is called as the intelligent fool, right? He knows everything, but yet he acts foolish. That is when our ignorance or immaturity, whatever you may say, is exposed, right? So though this is, most of us who are sitting in this hall are protected from this because somewhere back in our mind, we know that, you know, Vaishnava Aparad is very dangerous, so we should not. So at least that ignorance is not there, right? Next, deeper than the ignorance, right, is when deep down, you can say our identity is threatened, right? So this is what exactly happened with our dear Suruchi. What exactly happened with, why was she offended with Dhruva Maharaj sitting on father's lap? One who is sitting on father's lap is the future prince or the future king. So the mother of the future king is the future Rajmata. So that was the identity that Suruchi was harboring in her heart. So the moment she saw Dhruva sitting on her father's lap, her identity of Rajmata got disturbed. Are, I am supposed to be the Rajmata, not Suniti. If Dhruva Maharaj is sitting and if he is dear to his father, means Suniti get becomes the Rajmata, not me. And that is where her, when her, and if you carefully see, all our sources of happiness and distress are all rooted in some identity that we carry. Just think about it, right? You know, a very gross example, right? Like sometimes, why people celebrate when India wins the World Cup? They didn't do anything. They don't even know how to hold the bat or throw the ball, right? They may, some people may not even know how cricket is played, right? Like when India won the World Cup, right? So people were like crazy on the streets of Mumbai, even midnight at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., people were shouting and screaming and, right? So why, or to give a more modern or contextual, contemporary devotee example, right? When, you know, when the Indian military, when it did these surgical strikes, why devotees got so excited? Right? We don't even know how to hold a gun. We have never even seen a gun, forget holding a gun. Right? Why devotees got excited? Definitely not that dharma is protected. Please, don't give me that excuse, okay? Because deep down, whether India wins a cricket match or when Indian army performs the surgical strike, the idea of I am an Indian, my identity gets bolstered. Right? So that is the reason why we get excited. Right? And likewise, if India loses the cricket match, why do people break their TV sets? Why people get disappointed? Why people come to Bhagavatam class? Right? Because they become frustrated in life. Right? They become frustrated. Why? Because they feel my identity of being an Indian is threatened. So when your identity is threatened, right, that is when you become offensive. And that was what Suruchi exhibited here. The anger that she exhibited was that. So first we saw how when ignorance is exposed. Second, we saw when your identity is threatened. Sometimes devotees are protected from this also because living in a Vaishnava culture, you know, our etiquette, like little knowledge of the Vaishnavas protects us from the ignorance aspect. And our etiquette, at least, you know, we are not so blatant. Agar man mein lagega, lekin we are not openly saying that also. Right? So our etiquette, sadachar, kind of like protects us from the second one also. But the third reason which I am going to now mention is a most powerful and influential reason. This is the reason for which every devotee gets trapped. And more so, this is an offense only devotees commit and not outsiders commit. This is an offense that not a new devotee commits but only a seasoned devotee commits. This is when your ideologies are challenged. Let me explain what it means. When by default, as the jiva, every conditioned living entity is living an animalistic life. Their only goal in life is satisfaction of their senses. Right? They are stuck in that annamaya kosh. So for them, when their senses, sense gratification is deprived, that is when they get angry. Right? That is how, so when, that is what the first two reasons are connected with. When somebody's sense gratification is challenged, when you tell them that, hey, sense gratification is bad, immediately an atheist or a demoniac person protests, hey, why are you challenging my sense gratification? Right? When you say that, you know, this, what is this? Ahara nitya bhaya maithunancha, immediately they get threatened. How dare you threaten my sense gratification? Right? So, but then, devotees, we are not stuck at that level. You know, we rise above that level of sense gratification. We understand sense gratification is bad, so we don't succumb to that. When you rise above that, you come to the stage where you seek happiness in emotions, interpersonal interactions, and so on and so forth. That is the pranamay, the emotional happiness, right? So devotees rise above that also. You know, like the popular, the Bollywood scripts or the love triangles, right? What is all the story behind the love triangles, right? Two boys or two girls are in love with one person, and therefore there's a conflict, right? Because that emotional contentment that attachment when it is threatened, right? So definitely to that level also devotees will not stoop, hopefully, right? So that also we rise above. Because we learn, we understand that our real emotions are in connection with Krishna, and we rise above the mundane worldly affections and aversions. But then as our spiritual acumen increases, the third level, we now rise above the senses and the emotions, because what is higher than the senses, according to the third chapter of Gita? The mind. We now learn to see everything. We learn to see the entire world with respect to our mind. And this is where the advancement leads to our degradation. Because by default, we rise above our senses and emotions, but we are stuck at the level of the mind. The mind is the place of ideologies, values, right? This is what typically happens in a discussion among devotees, conflict. Let's take a classical example of, you know, how to organize a particular event. So all the devotees, they come together and then they say, you know, we have to do something to serve devotees. That's the event. So one devotee will give their suggestion. Prabhu, according to me, nothing is better than the holy name. The Yuga Dharma is holy name. Therefore, to serve the Vaishnavas of our community, we should organize regular, loud, ecstatic Sankirtan. Then the Pujari department people will say, Prabhu, not everybody is so advanced like you, Prabhu. We should organize grand festivals for the pleasure of the, because Pujaris are attached to deities. So whatever will please the deities, Yasmin Tushte, Jagat Tushte. The devotees are the center of a community. Right? So we should organize deity worship, we should organize grand festivals, right? But then within that festival committee, there will be one more person who will say, Prabhu, deities are all right, you know. But what about newcomers? We should organize dramas, right? Because their ideology is through dramas, through cultural presentation, music, dance, drama, that is how you can make people happy. Right? Then one practical person will be there in the audience. Prabhu, whatever you do, finally, taramadhe jivvati. Lobhamaya sudhu. Krishna bada dayamai. We should have, whatever you do, doesn't matter. Better, you just organize nice feasts every week. Right? So immediately kitchen person will say, no, I think we should follow the holy name. Right? They may not have, right? Attachment to holy, but they'll immediately counter that. So the point is, this is where the conflict begins, because everyone is rooted to a particular ideology. Not that one is better or other is wrong, right? But it is just that it is your ideology, your philosophy of life, that which makes you... So the moment the first person said that, Prabhu, you know, we should not do chanting, we should organize prasadam. The person is not challenging you. He is challenging your ideology. But we perceive it as a personal challenge. And that is when we become cynical about other person. We harbor offensive mentality to other person. This is the typical example of a person who is stuck in that manomay kosh, is that I am my ideology. So if somebody insults my ideology, somebody insults my suggestions, somebody insults my ideas, somebody insults what I believe in, then they are insulting me. Therefore, you are my enemy. Why? That person might not have any issues with you. He only feels your idea is not good, but you start perceiving that other person as an enemy. And that is how the offensive mentality begins. And this is the most dangerous among all the three mentalities. Right? So we saw the first reason was when our ignorance is exposed. Second is when our identity is threatened. Right? The third is when our ideals are challenged. So we have to protect ourselves from these three, especially the third one. Right? So is there any protection from Vaishnava Aparadha? Any protection from Vaishnava? How do we protect ourselves from Vaishnava Aparadha? By glorifying a devotees. Okay? By Vaishnava Sadachar. Okay? So let's see. So we'll see. There are three ways in which one can remove, one can protect oneself from Vaishnava Aparadha. I'm quoting from Chaitanya Bhagavat. All the three suggestions are coming from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Okay? So one, ये वैष्णव स्थाने अपराधे है यार पुनः से क्षमिले अ अपराधे गुच्छेतार कंठ फूले ए मुखे से मुखे आए पाए कंठ फूले की कांधे भरी आए. इफ वन ऑफेंड्स अ वैष्णव द ओनली वे टू गेट फ्री फ्रॉम द ऑफेंस इज टू गो बैक टू दैट वैष्णव एंड बेग देयर फॉरगिवनेस. Just as it takes a thorn to remove a thorn, the offense committed by the mouth against a Vaishnava must be cured with the mouth. How? By begging forgiveness or by glorifying that devotee. Right? So this is, Prabhupada writes in one purport that what, in the Bhagavad Gita he writes, what becomes a source of the problem can also be, the poison can, if used therapeutically, can also become a medicine. So the same mouth which commits the offense can also be used to counteract that offense by begging forgiveness, by literally, glorifying the devotee. But that is there. Sometimes we may be in a situation where the other person is not willing to meet us. The other person is not, or maybe we are in a situation where we may not access to that Vaishnava. Ideally, this is the first, most important step. Huh? Don't go to the second step without going to the first step. Right? Because what does that do? What does literally going to that Vaishnava do? It challenges our false ego. Because all offenses, the root of all the aparadha is the false ego only. Because it challenges, it humbles us. Therefore, the best, the most important thing to do is actually go back for forgiveness personally. But sometimes, there may be a scenario where that may not be possible. Then what to do? Any suggestions? Go to the person. That is okay. And then? On your behalf. Like how Indra went to Surabhi. Right? Yeah, that is also included there. Again, you are using your mouth. Of course, you are kind of like submitting your ego. And so direct or indirectly, you are approaching that person. Right? That is first category. Approaching the person, direct or indirect, that's the first category. Suppose you cannot approach the person due to whatever reasons. You serve the other Vaishnavas who is there. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he did indirect. Okay. Good one. Well, the answer is yes, Prabhu. Go to Surabhi Kund and offer prayers. Okay. Good. That is also there. We'll come to that third category. We'll come to that. They are all one big chunk. That is the third category. But the second one, huh? Glorifying the first ho gaya na? Huh? That is also the first. You are, again, through words you are approaching that Vaishnava. My dear Prabhus, this second technique, after a lot of thorough research, it has been unveiled. So please listen to it carefully. because only in the most secret and the esoteric scriptures this particular way is mentioned. How one can overcome Vaishnavaparadha? Because what does Narottam Das Thakur say? He says that if you offend the Lord, right? Sei sthane aparadhe tare harinam, but nahi paritran. If you offend a Vaishnava, even Hari is going to abandon you. But if Hari also abandons you, there is one person who will never abandon you. Chaitanya Bhagavat again says, Nityananda prasade se nindaya sakshay, Nityananda prasade se Vishnu bhakta hai. Only by the causeless mercy of the name, form and pastimes of Lord Nityananda, one's offenses against Vaishnavas are destroyed. And one attains devotional service of Lord Krishna. That is the glory of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Right? So even if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu abandons you because you have committed offense to Lord to Vaishnava, Nityananda Prabhu is not going to abandon you. So that is a glory. So if you chant the glories of Lord Nityananda, you will be protected from offense. So how to chant the glories of Lord Nityananda? You can follow this bhajan. This is by Vrindavan Das Thakur, glorifying Nityananda Prabhu. The lyrics are very easy and I'm sure you'll very easily follow.
Antare nitai bahire nitai nitai jagatamaya. Antare nitai bahire nitai nitai jagatamaya. Nagar nitai nagari nitai kathae kaya. Nagar nitai nagari nitai kathae kaya. Sadhan nitai bhajan nitai nitai nayana tara. Sadhan nitai bhajan nitai nitai nayana tara. Dasadika maya nitai sundara nitai bhuvana bhara. Dasadika maya nitai sundara nitai bhuvana bhara. Radhara madhuri ananga manjari nitai nitu se seve. Adhara madhuri ananga manjari nitai nitu se seve. Kotisha shadhara vadana sundara sakha sakhi bala deve. Koti sahasadara vadana sundara sakha sakhi bala deve. Radhara bhagini shamasa goghini savasakhi gana prana. Radhara bhagini shamasohagini savasakhi gana prana. Yahara labari mandapasajani shrimani mandira nama. Yahara labari mandapasajani shrimani mandira nama. Nitai sundara yogapita dhare ratana simhasane seje. Nitai sundara yogapita dhare ratana simhasane seje. Basana nitai bhushana nitai vilase sakhira maje. Basana nitai भूषण नीताय विलासे सखी रमाजे की कभी आर नीताय साबर अंकि मुखे सब अंगा की कही बारे नीताय साबरे अंकि मुख सेव अंगा नीताय 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 नूतरंगा नीताय बलिया बहुतुलिया चाय बेवज पूरे नीताय 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 नूतर रंग नीताय बलिया दहुतुलिया चली बेवज पूरे दास वृंदावने एई निवेदन नीताय न छाड़ो मोरे दास वृंदावन सिवेदन नीताय ना छाड़ो मोरे।
श्री राधा वृंदावन मेरी भगवान की जय। श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की जय। राइट, सो दिस इज द सेकेंड वे ऑफ ओवरकमिंग ऑफेंसेस टू वैष्णवा। वन शुड बेग एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ नित्यानंद प्रभु एंड कंप्लीटली सरेंडर टू लॉर्ड नित्यानंद in the same mood as how Jaga and Madhai surrendered, right? Then there is a third way also. What is that? Again from Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says, E bada adbhuta katha shuna savadhane Vaishnava aparada guche ihara shravane. There is one episode in Chaitanya Bhagavat, if you read, you will be protected from Vaishnava Aparad. What is that? Listen carefully to this wonderful pastime of how Sri Sachimata got delivered from her offense against Sri Advaita Acharya in chapter 22. By reading or hearing this narration, one will become free from the Vaishnava Aparad committed. Like that. So that is the third category of ways are this reading specific episodes from the scriptures, going to holy places and taking bath in very specific holy places and so on and so forth, right? So again, the point is that the first step is our, should always be our approach method. So, I don't have to submit my ego. I'll avoid the first and go to second and third. No, it doesn't work. Only in the eventuality that the first is not possible, then you go to the second. And the second also is not possible, then you go to third. Right? But now we're going to shift our focus back to the first point with which we started the class. Where Sri Prabhupada is mentioning that how Dhruva Maharaj began his journey with a revengeful attitude. We saw the perspective of Vaishnava Aparad from the offender's point of view. Now we are going to change from the offended's point of view. Sometimes we may also be victim of somebody else's Vaishnava Aparad. What should be our mood? Do you think Dhruva Maharaj enjoyed seeing his own stepmother and brother being killed? But in the heat of the moment, when he got offended, somewhere he very strongly desired that this person should be ruined. And that is the regret he carries for the rest of his life. This is not a story of how Krishna helps you in finding your revenge, but this is a story of how Krishna will humble you and purify you for thinking ill of somebody else. Even though, so Dhruva Maharaj got offended, but ideally a Vaishnava does not even carry inimical or any ill feelings against those who offend them also. That is the highest standard. Because this story may seem hope giving for somebody in the mode of passion. Oh, if somebody offends me, I please Krishna, then Krishna is going to be my what do you call that? My mafia, who is going to, you know, kill the other person on my behalf. That is not the lesson of the story. Lord Vishnu is purifying Dhruva Maharaj because there is no greater punishment than to live in the burden of eternal regret. When a Vaishnav faces that, the feeling of regret, because regret is a very, very, there is nothing you can do at that moment. The only thing that is left was regret. So that is a very, very intense feeling of pain. And that fire of regret purifies the devotee so much that actually indirectly the Lord is purified Uttama by killing him in the forest. The Lord purified his stepmother by burning her to death. But they got away very easily. Because just in one moment you die and it's gone. They got the most easiest part of the Vaishnava Aparad. Dhruva Maharaj, how long he ruled? 60,000 years? 10,000 years? 36. For 36,000 years, he was burning in the fire of regret. So who got the biggest punishment? Dhruva Maharaj. So, at that moment he was not a Vaishnav, but after he becomes a Vaishnav, he will regret for every ill thought that he had. So, better we protect ourselves at this stage. Right? Usually we quote this episode saying, look, in future I will become a pure devotee, therefore don't offend me. But rather, this pastime, this particular verse should be our indication that, oh my God, if I become a pure devotee in future, what about all the offensive thoughts, all the ill feelings that I had against people in my life? I'll have to burn in the fire of regret. Better from this stage, I do not feel offended by anyone. Right? So this is the powerful lesson that we see from this verse, this particular episode, that, you know, sometimes to be in the position of being the offended is even more painful than to be the offender. Not the pain of the offense, but from the Vaishnava Aparad point of view, right? Because if you even for a moment think, oh, that other person has offended me, something bad should happen to him. Right? Therefore, Haridas Thakur was repeatedly praying, my Lord, I am not taking any offense. Because I don't want to carry that burden of regret in my heart. Right? These people don't know what they are doing. First you forgive them and you forgive me. If by mistake even a tinge of anger also, if it comes in my heart, please protect me from that. Because I'll have to regret it. These fellows will die and they will become devotees in their next life. What about me? I will live for the rest of eternity and I have to carry this burden in my heart that I thought ill about someone. Right? So therefore, yeah, it's from both the sides that one has to protect oneself. So whether you are an offensive person, then you should purify, do not commit offenses. And if you have committed offenses, and why do offenses occur? One, because when our ignorance is exposed, or two, when our identity is threatened, or when our ideologies are challenged. So we'll not get affected by these three things. So we will try to not offend devotees. And even if by mistake, if you have offended devotees, we have the three parishkaras. One, what is it? Immediately go, glorify, beg forgiveness, glorify the devotee. If that's not possible, take shelter of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. If that's also not possible, we have some holy places. Read the pastimes, go to holy places, take bath. Right? And so on and so forth. But more importantly, don't take offenses from others. Because if you have accepted offense from, or if you feel you have been offended by someone, it means that you are carrying a burden in your heart for the rest of eternity. Because that victim consciousness will degrade you. Right? So we don't want to get affected by that victim consciousness. So that is a powerful lesson Lord has taught Dhruva Maharaj in this episode. So with this, there are a few thoughts I wanted to share. Yes, Prabhu. Anand Raghu Prabhu has a question.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu, for this nice class. I was just wanting to ask, sometimes, Prabhuji, when in the association of devotees, where everybody is serving and you also serve, and you all grew up together, you are served together, and you were friends together, but after a while in Krishna consciousness, you know, everybody is doing their services and everybody is involved and absorbed in and expanding the services. Sometimes in the association of devotees, you feel that a particular devotee is maybe neglecting, or maybe he may feel that, you know, your presence is not needed, something like that. So, considering that, what you mentioned, that you don't want to take offense, but at the same time, you also feel that, have I really offended somebody? Or, you know, what I have really done, you know, sometimes a thought comes to that mind. So kind of a negativity is there, because in one sense, you don't want to harm anybody or create a situation that, but sometimes people have some assumptions or preconceived notions. So in that way, how to address this situation, because sometimes the negativity also is like an apradh, and sometimes the other person might feel that he is offended in some way or other. So how do we cater to this?
Yes, if I understood your question right, so your question is, how do I know if I have offended someone? Right? And if indeed, if there is a remote probability of having committed the offense, how do I patch up? Something like that?
Not exactly an offense, but sometimes kind of a negativity.
Ah, okay, okay.
Not an offense, but sometimes, you know, a negativity or some interaction, maybe the person might have be upset or something, which was not an incident or deliberate, like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for the parishkar, for offenses, we already discussed these three of them. So, going back to the first step only, so we said glorification, begging forgiveness. A step below that is applicable in this scenario is clear communication. Probably you'll just have to go and discuss with that devotee, you know, like, this is what I am feeling. I'm feeling some distance between us. It's been a while since we actually opened up with each other, right? And do you think that there is something, perhaps is there's some friction between us, or is there something that's happened between us, or maybe it's just, sometimes it could be nothing. It's just that the way life is, the way sevas and life is, that communication naturally comes down. Right? That's why His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, during his last meeting, he was repeatedly emphasizing on this point only. Right? Communication, cooperation and empowerment. So personally, if you ask me, devotees coming together in common programs, right? Morning program, festivals, prasadam, etc., etc., kirtan, guru puja. That kind of like dissolves. See, it's like an inertia. How do you overcome inertia is by pushing it somewhere, right? And so the best push that you get is when you come together with some activity. Not, so sometimes even if you go start, initiate a communication, the other person may feel threatened. Right? So you need to still come together, maybe with an indirect purpose, and that's where these common forums are for. Right? So in a sense, we already have the solution, we just have to apply ourselves to that. So personally, I always felt that when just devotees just coming together, especially prasadam has always been my favorite activity for devotees coming together. Somebody else will say perhaps kirtan, dancing in the kirtan together and so on, right? But the point is, somehow you need to break the ice by coming together, and you will see sometimes being just in the vicinity of the other person breaks the ice, right? Because nobody carries that, wants to carry that grudge or carries that negativity. Maybe the other person is also waiting for an opportunity to open up with you. So sometimes just being in the vicinity of that person, maybe just going and standing next to them during Mangalarti, right? Just being in the vicinity of that person, being in the visible range of the person also will break the ice and will, as I say, thaw the relationships. You know, ice cream when it melts is called thawing. So that ice, when it starts to thaw, before melting comes thawing. So maybe that's the first step, right? And then communication perhaps could be the next step in the process. Right? Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthat Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai.